This is a plum house. This might be in here now. Just look out to plum house.
They had a thing before that she mentioned me. I had forgot about that thing. Yeah, they call it the diving bell. And you could, I don't know how many people would go down in it, and they would put a pressure on that thing and take it down underneath that water.
And then crash through.
And then it lifts back up.
I can tell you exactly what year that was, in 1942.
42. I don't know when it was.
Okay, when was the first, what was the year of the first glass bottom boat, sort of as we know them now? Do you remember the year of that, or is that in this story?
I would like to say, because I read a piece in the paper about the man, the history of the spring. It was in the paper, and it said some man, the name, what was the first man that made the glass bottom boat. But my recollection was Hollam Jones. He made it to fish with.
Oh, how interesting.
But they called this a man something else that made the first glass bottom boat. You see, different people get different things, Hollam Jones made a boat with him to go fishing in. I want to tell this story. He fished for something that nobody else in the world ever did, but he was the best fisherman that I ever saw or heard of. He fished with sweet potatoes.
Me, fruit, I do too.
Fried bacon.
I do too.
Sweet bananas.
Yeah.
And fat meat.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I don't like that.
All that, that's what he would fish for, those fish.
He'd catch them.
And he'd catch more fish than anybody that would. Sweet potatoes. I used to go out in his boat to see if he had left a good sweet potato down there. Because he had a lot of, and don't forget bread too. But he had sweet
bread
potatoes, bananas, that bread, and that's what he put on his hook.
Just the plain old bread.
Light bread, the way that
it
matches.
It becomes like a dough ball, Yes, we used to have what we called
football game
with the catfish.
That was something.
Take a big dough ball, and we'd throw it over there, and run the boat over it, and just hundreds of catfish would go out there, and sometimes they go to fighting. Someone would eat the other one, all kind of stuff.
Catch another, kill a little cat.
Was this during the tour?
Yes, ma'am, that's special, that football game.
Now we're going to have the football game. We throw that old big ball under there, you know, and the fish would, and catfish would come out there by the thousands.
I remember all that kind of activity when I was riding the boats those first years a long time ago.
Well, now, how long have you been around?
Well, I went away then. I was just a tourist then. Mm-hmm. I've only been here since 1966, but I had been back two or three times. I was here in 1965, and then I was here when they brought all the new boats in. Now, were you all still on when they brought in the new boats? Remember, they brought the Seminole Nation up? About the whole nation.
When we started out, they had the little boat you had to pull.
That's what I did. Mad.
With your oil, didn't have a motor.
Pipson.
I can't imagine. How many people could you take on that one that you rode? Is that the 12 you're talking about?
About 6 or 8. Oh. That was terrible. You had to get the brace and then ride back. You couldn't get
one trip that way.
You could not come back up the stream because that big spring, the water is running about that fast. And you have to kick it down, show everything, and what are you going to tell them? And they bring a motorboat down, pull you back to the bay, turn you loose.
Oh.
But you wouldn't be able to never get back. That's where Mr. Madden ruined himself.
See, Mr. Madden used to pull it back.
Yeah, he used to pull it back. He just ruined himself.
That's why that man said, I think everybody on here ought to get the man. He pulled that back with 10, 12 people on it. I guess that comes.
Yes, like that. Just like that. He just ruined himself.
He wouldn't ruin himself too, but he could do like he's riding a bicycle. And he knew he's going to get that man to tell him. He would put that money on that place.
Yeah, but the money got everything.
Than anybody.
Did you ever sing any songs while you were doing your tours?
I never did because I
never
couldn't sing.
Never did nothing like that, no.
What were some of the comments that you'd make as people got onto the boats?
Well, we never did make any when they were getting on, but most every time we would be on the outside, and then the boat get loaded, and they put what they call the hatch down, we would climb around the sides and come in from the back, and then we would salute the pride and tell them what was going to happen. I'm your guide, I'm Willie Marks, and I'd like to have your attention, so on and so forth. Our water now 17 feet deep, and we get a sudden drop from 17 feet to 31 to 40.
Mm-hmm. They forget about what they're saying. They're looking back at you. Are you talking? My cousin, he'd do that, get the attention. Notice the head through the glass all the time.
Well, then people really wanted something to laugh at more than
yeah, they like the comments.
It's fun, you know. They want you to be comfortable. I wasn't very good at that, but some of them were. And I used to say, the ignorant you are, the better guy you make. Because people just laugh at you. And that fellow speak English? He says, you say that word again. I see it coming one day. The fellow said, what did he say? He said, I don't know. What you know. He said, say that again, Lord. And he said something. I don't know what he said. He threw the 50 cents on the dash and walked out.
Well, I tell you, the worst I've had on a trip was, it was two fellas come on, what it was, from Russia or something. And the whole talk was about the war was going on then, I think World War II. But the nation had them, America, you know, just beating them up, you know, doing, you know how I felt about it. And finally they stopped talking that. And that man pulled off his clothes and put on his bathing suit and jumped overboard. Taking a swim, and I talking to them all about, you know, I was supposed to be master of the boat and captain. He wouldn't stop. So I come back and told Mr. Davidson about it. I know if I'd have told him about it, he'd have jumped on him. He's fighting right now. I wouldn't tell him. And I told him after the left, I wish you had told him, I canated him.
That was the worst.
You
had
to be
partly
ignorant
to
stay out in the water. Did
he
come back on the boat?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, just wet everything up.
Oh.
And I have to tell him all the time, no, do it. This is not your boat. You ain't got no. That was tough.
Well, one day I got into it before. It's my lander. I had my eyes closed. But what happened? You see, sometime when the people would come, just like if you was coming there today, and the motion picture people was had us sit up in the bottom making pictures and whatnot, you know? Well, the people that come in that particular day or that week, they would see some of this underwater. But after that was over, they would take all that stuff out, and that didn't go on anymore until some company come along. I mean, until they released it for making the pictures. But if you come along there during that time, you saw that. That was an added attraction. So this man, after I made the trip, which I thought I'd done a good job, I tried to, he said, well, where's the people that the mayor made that we're going to see you under the water? I said, they are not here today. I said, that is not funny. That is not added. That's not a
trip.
The trip. That's not included in the trip. That was an added attraction because the motion picture company were here at that particular time making pictures. He said, no. He says, I've been here 4 or 5 times and I saw it every time. I said, because of the fortunate man. Because it's all gone. It's not here anymore. I said, that wasn't sponsored by the management. It was sponsored by the motion picture company. And they're gone. Oh, no, you don't know what you're doing now. And he kept on to make me kind of pass. So I don't know what I said. I had to wait there 35 years. I'll tell you what you saw. You saw more in that 2 trips you made on this river than I saw here in 35 years. And that made him mad. Well, you see, I had all the other people pleased. But by him saying that I didn't show him the thing that I should have shown him, that just those damage on my whole trip and made the people think I didn't know what I was doing. So he went up to the office on me. So it was just that way all day long. You didn't know who you were riding. You'd be very careful. And
we read probably he and I, one of them maybe, rode Mark Barkley and her. Bunch of
yeah. Oh, did you?
We didn't know it, but probably did, because I know they was out there. Two or three days later, right down the road, and they running on them, and they had a bang.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm glad it started out. I guess I'd have jumped overboard.
Could you tell me about the things that you said on board, Mr. Marsh? You were saying a minute ago that you they had given you a piece of paper.
I have probably forgot some of it.
Is that the way you originally learned when you were a child?
Well, no. We knew about it, but just like if you go out there and you get the job, you'd have to ride with one of the, what you might say, one of the, well, you rode with all of them. And you could take something out from either one, if you know.
Add on, take it out.
And the one that you may like best and like his speech best, you'd copy behind him, and then you'd add whatever you wanted to later on and so forth. But you had to ride for a week or two, I don't know how long, with the other guys, and you'd hear them all. you could pick your speech.
I'd hold out on.
So that's
you, you do what?
I'd hold out. I wouldn't tell all my speech.
No, 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 no.
That's why it makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
So you were ignoring your own speech and things that people would like to hear, you know, and so forth.
Yeah, but you each had a sort of a sing song quality to it as you were spilling it out. I remember. Can you give us any of that?
Well, we can start off. We can start either I started. It don't make any difference. But if I had known it, I'd have got it all together before I got here. We can go down a piece on it. Say, now, ladies and gentlemen, so I'd like to have your attention, people. You're now beginning on our trip. The water is now 17 feet deep. You know, the first thing we would say is this. This glass is a half an inch plain plate glass. It does not magnify. Just coming to me now. The things you see are their natural size. The water we're now over is 17 feet deep. We get a sudden drop from 17 to 31 feet.
They grabbing the seats and I drop.
From 17 to 31 feet. And the water gradually gets deeper and pass along from 31 to 40 feet. We're now coming to the main spring, the source of Silver River. The cave is 12 by 65. It's 65 feet across and it's 12 feet high. The water is flowing 550 million gallons every 24 hours coming through this cave into the river. It forms a river that is 9 miles long and have a current of 4 miles an hour. That's for that particular spring. Now we are now leaving and we're going to our next spring.
Second largest
spring. Now I said the water is gradually getting shallower as we go along. It's rising from 40 feet to about 10 or 15 feet till we get to the next. We'll now have a grassy, what is it, William? We'll have a grassy
bottom.
200 yards. Our next spring will be reception hall. And we'd show them that and how the catfish would come out under the ledges and whatnot. Sometimes we'd have a ball game there, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
If we would have a ball game, you wouldn't see a catfish hardly. We make that old big ball of bread, you know, we throw it over and we know just about where to put it. And when that thing hit the bottom, catfish come from everywhere. See, they would go up underneath those rocks, and you wouldn't see any, but they were thousands under those rocks. Very funny thing. And they would go under those rocks, you know, and stand there all day and only come out in the afternoon, late by night.
They're nighthawks, they can't see it in the day.
Oh, that's night. The sun hitting that water, making it light. Mm-hmm.
At night,
they would hide all day, but late in the afternoon, they wouldn't see a lot of catfish come out on a cloudy day.
Oh, yeah. Night.
And you see, it must be the catfish eyes were very sensitive to light. And they'd go back in those holes. And I watched the otters go down in those holes behind those catfish and run them out.
You could see
dust coming out of another little spring where he'd went underneath there, you know, and he'd go right on down in those springs behind those fish. So you get the reception hall, let me tell them about the bridal chamber. And latest part, the devil's kitchen, Florida snowstorm.
How about that white flower?
Oh, it has a little flower that
long
coming
thing,
back.
Bridal wreath.
The growing stems of that long grass,
Sagittarius.
Bridal wreath flower. Now, let me get the story together, and while I'd be thinking what kind of story to tell about those flowers, let me see. It's called the bridal wreath flower. If there's any old maid,
young lady,
or young gentleman, anyone desires to get married, will get one of these bridal wreath flowers and wear it in the heat of the left shoe for
three days.
For 3 days, they'll be happily married in 3 days.
They believe that.
All them old men with those flowers. Well, some of them really believe it. Some of them come back and tell what else. We can bring their husbands back stuff, you know.
Well, that man they want to tell that prepper. He was a chamber from Chamber Comrade.
We used to call him spread hands. Yeah. You know, he'd be doing his hand like that for people he'd bring out there. But I don't know. What was his name?
He didn't want you to tell that every time.
You had to tell that story of the bride of Chamber.
And the girl from Tampa. The girl from Tampa? Well, she got one who was married a day or two quicker. Weight double, you know, one like that, he said. Now, he'd like that. But he would not help you now get no tip. He wouldn't do anything about that. When you get to Dorney.
And there was Clara Douglas and Bernie Mayo, Disappointed Love. That's where we started that particular story. There was a lady by the name of Ancilla, she brought her here and dropped it this spring, and later the gentleman, he returned and he drowned himself in the same spring. So they were joined here, the two Disappointed Love were joined and married right there in the spring. So I wish I had thought about that what you wanted. I could have got it kind of straight, because I haven't said that thing in 12, 13 years now. I got away from there, I forgot about it all. I have been back twice. I went there one night last time to see about insurance, but other than that, I haven't been there.
About how many times a day would you run that spiel?
How many?
12, 14. And then no lunch, you might say. This time of day, you might get a sandwich. You had special sandwiches, special Cokes, 10 cents. And by the time you could go to get a bite of that sandwich and drink of the Coke, all right, come on the boat, ready. Come on, get on.
I was kind of ready to go, but it was hard.
It ruined my system.
One of the tiredest things that you can do on this earth and have to keep doing is talking.
That's a big job. Right from
you can sit here and talk normally practically all day, but when you've got to talk above your voice, above children, and above somebody else that's talking, you can do better if you were hollering. But if you've got to speak and talk, it's hard.
You're not going to make it easy on us.
And you get tired of talking, you were tired.
You got a ring at night, I didn't do anything. It was tight at home.
I bet I'd go back at it.
Next was a microphone you talked about. I bought one of these things, whatever you call it, microphone, jacks. Time I got started, take that thing down, boy. We can't understand.
I felt so bad. Take your mouth out of that thing, boy.
I felt so bad.
But they got got it just before I left with loudspeakers. You know.
That was pretty good.
But, brother, when you get tired of talking, they got to still talk.
And no dinner.
You want to do it.
No lunch.
If they didn't allow you to get tips, you'd make one of the worst guys on earth, because you get so tired you couldn't talk. But that little money you was going to get when you get back, you thought, why, it would just make you kill your own self. You know, dying on the boat, didn't know it.
Tell about Charlie Newell, baby.
Have you ever said whatever you're talking about?
He's his uncle or something. No, he's a tip man. Oh, he'd sit right back in the boat. He'd get right back downtown, and he'd get his quarter together, two quarters, and they wouldn't give him nothing. He'd just fool them to death. He'd rattle them together. Thank you. Look at this fellow. And he gave him a penny. Thank you, man. Glad you enjoyed it. Thanks for trying to fool you. Thank you, guy. And he'd get them, too. He'd get them.
Prison and others. That was the trouble of
them. Yeah, he was.
That's why I'm in my trap.
Yeah.
I put it up there so I wouldn't have to, you know, do that. I had it. I pulled that thing at first, but they got where it began to get out, you know. And they had a road up in the Orlando Center. They wrote up about the fellow in the trap, pulling the trap. They had it.
I didn't know that.
So, yeah. So what I done, see, now I want to stop that. You see, that's why I pulled that, you know. I made the string come down and come down over here, and I put a leaf on that. And see, that thing got wildly known, and everybody would sit there and watch you to see you pull that string so that dime would fall. Yeah. So I made mine down here on my feet, and they'd be looking at me, and I'd be talking to them, you know, and I'd say, just throw it right on the glass. They'd all look at me, and then I'd match my foot, the thing come out. But they were looking for me to do this, you see, but I just match it with my foot. So one time, the fellas got onto it, one time they didn't know, and seen that he had a quarter up in this thing that you could kind of
from
see
from the quarter.
A man got up there and started to get it out. He got it out. As soon as he got it out, I cut the quarter off. I said, mister, you took the fuse out of there. You put it back up there.
That's smart. Toy smart. I never would have thought of that.
As soon as he took it out, I cut the motor off.
I never would have thought of that.
So I said, mister, I was using that as a fuse, the fuse blower, not using that as a fuse. Now you got to put it back before I can move it. He said, excuse me, pardon me. I said, oh, well, stick it back in there like you used that. I put it back in there.
Now tell him about that coral snake thing on my boat.
Oh,
eight
my
people
gosh.
On. Right by my face.
Coral snake.
Coral, yes, ma'am. He wasn't big, but he's deaf.
I think what happened to me one day. After they made those loudspeakers, we got out the door and you put our feet down at the bottom up here down here. And it'd be dark down there. A lot of wires was down there to come up to our loudspeaker. I felt something on my leg. It was, you know, and I do it like that, you know what?
Yeah. He's something else, ain't
he? I do like that again. It was like cut my foot. I was moving my legs and I felt the wires was, you know, touching my legs. So I got my leg good and still. And I could still feel that thing on my leg. I said, what the name is on? And it was dark down there. I looked down there and I saw a big old brown looking thing. I said, it looked like a rabbit. And I couldn't see down in there very good, you know. I come, I said, no, that ain't that big. It's a snake, a big old mug. I don't mean a little one. I mean, see, he come in there at night with me and put the boat
it's
up.
It's damn cool.
And that's gone, come right on up. And I didn't want the people to see it. I had a little thing about that. How I didn't want them to see it because they would panic and
jump
over the boat. And he's too big. That thing come up, he go right across and all that. And the people begin to ask me questions and I begin to quit talking. I was acting silly, but they didn't know what make me acting silly, you know. And he just crawled in his tongue. Well, if I had jumped up, I thought he'd grab him by, you know, by the head. And first my mind said, no, if you just don't move, he probably won't strike. And it didn't worry me real bad till he got behind my back. When he got back behind him, I couldn't see him. I looked like he passed out. But I let it go. And they asking me about snakes all up. That same, have you ever seen a snake? I thought, to say, yes, man, here's one of the biggest thing I've ever seen in my hand. But I did. And here on I said, Lord, just help me. It looked like that boat stopped in the middle of the river. I had it wide open, but it looked like it was going back the other way. He went on around, and there was a big glass back there, you know, and I guess he thought he could get out back there. He stuck his head up on the glass and crawled up against there, and I was about to sink. So when everybody got out of the boat, I said, y'all asked me about a snake. I said, look at that thing, you know. It's great.
Big out the boat, then.
Yeah, it is all out the boat.
Oh, God.
Oh, for 3 weeks after that, every time I think about that snake, I was nervous, you know, because I didn't have to let him just...
Go in and check the boat and see if there was a snake on board.
And he's just taking his time. That was the first one I ever caught in there, but it was the first one he got on me. He pulled right across my lap. And I was shaking for 3 weeks after that.
Well, this thing was called snake right by my leg. I didn't know it. You said the pastor said, what you doing there? You ride with that snake all the time? I looked down and seen it. I have a damp towel and he's on it. I told him, move it, y'all go that way. I come in stomping and stomping, he jumped overboard. No, he didn't. He got away.
Got away. You were stomping it?
Yeah, trying to kill me.
Well,
just excited, I guess. Yeah.
How many of you worked on a boat together?
Together? Just one.
Just one person, and they would.
One man boat.
The boat and do the.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, one night they were going to give me a special trip. Some club wanted a special trip. Oh, they picked me. I went down to the village, about having a good time, and they had the drinks and everything. It was high, they had a big time, and it got the night. Now, way down there, we didn't have any lights. And the only way I could come back was look up like this and see the opening in the trees, and I tried to stay in the center of that, but you see down there, I couldn't see, and they were having a big time striking matches and lighting cigarettes, you know, and I was praying to God to try to get back. I don't know how I got caught down there, but they had a special trip for a late trip that night, and I flew around there and hit a rock down there in the bottom of that river, and told you, knocked the pen, broke the pen in the propeller, and I couldn't go, and the boat started going back down the river to come. So I got on the bow of it and pushed it over to the side where it got over, and I tied that boat. I had to go through that swamp.
Oh.
And the water was up to here through that swamp.
Right.
And I come out down the river about a half a mile from the dock. The people were worrying me so bad, they were, you know, panicking until I just had to leave that boat. It's going to quit me or something. So I got out of that boat and went and walked. The only way I could tell which way I was going was the dock. Was hear the car once in a while, and I knew that was the direction to go to get to the highway. And I went through there, I don't know, and I got out to the highway, and I went down and got another boat, and went back down there and got those packages. And it was 10 o'clock at night. Ooh, that was, I had to leave that boat.
So why didn't you see an alligator along the way?
I'm going to need to catch me out there. I mean, that sea was, that swamp is water out there.
Did you see many alligators in the early days?
No.
I wonder if any of those have been brought in or something by ABC.
It was natural, it was natural.
It didn't have to bring anything in. But what happened to them? They began to take them all from off our glass bottom boat trip. Take them way down the river, up below, below our glass bottom trip, where the people, they could say, if you take the jungle cruise, you can see alligators. That because the jungle cruise would go beyond where the glass bottom boat went. So, we, he got into it one day, and we would look for alligators and find them, and we wouldn't tell the jungle cruise people where they were. And when we catch them, they weren't looking, we would show them alligators anyway. So this fella here, he went down there one day. He came back. Well, the jungle cruise man heard the people talking about it. He said, show you alligators? And some of them will say, oh, we don't see no alligators. We don't see one on the glass bottom boat trip. That made him mad because he didn't, we were not supposed to show alligators.
He paid us off. Once he did.
And so he went to Williams and asked this fellow, he said, where was that alligator down the river? He said, down the river. He said, where about down the river? Down the river. I'm going to tell you just like it is. I don't fix it like this. So Mr. Tuohy got mad with William and he went up to Mr. Davison's house. I told Mr. Davison he was going to get a baseball bat and knock him in the head. I think it was something like that. Mr. Davison was a very comical man. I don't know what kind of a man he was, but I loved him anyway. He says, what you said to him? He was eating his breakfast. My cousin was cooking for him. He says, I'm going to bust one of them niggas' head open. He wouldn't tell me where the alligator was. Mr. Davis was eating breakfast. He said, what did you say to him? He told him what he said, but he's going to knock him. He said, let me tell you something to him. He said, when you come here, you find him, and you go down there. You're now on a good road to leave him down there.
He didn't know you too.
But now I know every nigga I got down there, and he ain't going to bother no white man for nothing. Now, what did you do to him? He went to tell him. He said, now, if you want to stay here, you better go down there and try to make friends with him. But they're going to be here when you go. He would take care of it. Now, the reason why I didn't have all white guys, as there's a lot of people required, is simply because the boys was always flirting with the pastors and whatnot, and they didn't make guys. That's how I could get all color guys.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's one of the main reasons. It wasn't that they loved us, so, but to be fitted better in that position, you see.
Well, I'm sorry I never did get to know Mr. Davison.
He was
he had
one
died
of the best
shortly before I moved back.
Every Christmas, winter, dollar, silver dollar, everybody.
Mm-hmm. It had silver spring on them. Black, I got one or two now.
One year paid off in silver dollars, everybody. I think he got one of them in.
I don't know what you all want to know about, but that the thing about the glass, the lecture to the glass bottom boat, that was pretty interesting. You know,
and what gets me, I never didn't like to, I didn't want to do the glass bottom boat. My cousin got me into it, with Crowell, Robert Crowell. I didn't really like to talk.
No, you know what I was doing?
You didn't want to talk to the passenger?
Never did, nobody.
We was the man on the, you was the man on the front.
I was getting the tickets. And I'm so, making other money. And
yeah, what it was, William. Lawrence Racker went down to the river. Davis kind of mean that and said, what are we going to do with Lawrence? You never make
he
a bad
He
went
in the post office
quickly. He said, what are we going to do with him? I said, I have one thing I know, Mr. Davis, and that's to persuade William to let Lawrence have his job, be on the dock. And let William run back. But Black, William wouldn't want the glass bottom for any fresh He was the little overseer there on the front, you know. So I told him, I said, boy, you make 10 times when one out there running one of these boats and you was sitting around here tying these boats up.
That got it, thank you.
I said, come on. And what really started the thing off, I was, they had them traps and things, I went and bought me a new car. My God, they didn't never see one of them things on the thing, you know. So I persuaded William, because he was we always come up together children. And I knew he could make more out there than he could on that dock. And I went with him for I don't know how long, but a good time before I get him to change his mind. But once he got out there, then when he started making that money, now I think he liked it very well. I said, man, you can make the money 3 times on your pension.
When you talk about the man that was up front or on the front, who was that and what was that person's duties?
He was kept the passengers on or the lady at some time, and especially take the tickets and stuff like that. And turn them in at night. That was his main job.
How much was a ticket on the river?
$2 a time, wasn't it?
They had when we first started, it was $1 trip, a 30-minute trip, and an hour trip was $2.
That's right.
We called it the long trip and short trip. That's one to 30 minutes, one to 9. We paid $2 for the hour and $1 for the half hour.
That's right.
We saved 14 points.